welcome back to the Great and Terrible Age. Yes, we're here to talk about apocalypse. And this is part two of the first episode. It's Fallout time, baby. I hope you're ready. And I'm joined, as always, by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey, what's good, team?
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, man, the second half of this episode gets so goofy. I hope you're ready for some of the most egregious and time passes title cards you've ever seen in your life, because we're about to get hit by one that's just like, yeah, imagine like a year of cool shit happened. So, starting back into it, last time we left off with Timothy and Emily, who were the two kids who were abducted for their great genes, I think. I think that's what we were supposed to glean from that, yeah?
Yeah, they're perfect genes, because Timothy did like a Ancestry.com test. You know, the thing all 17-year-olds do, but like none of the rest of their family do, just the 17-year-old boy, yeah.
And like, you know, honestly, that was a Simpsons bit for real, when it's like, you know, you ever touch a penny, the government's got your DNA on file. You know what I mean? Like one of those things where it's like, oh, yeah.
And they don't even bother explaining Emily's. They're just like, oh, well, just have Timothy mansplain that, like, they probably got it from her doctor's office, even though she didn't ask why she was there or anything. Just have Timothy try and, like, airball some theories as to why he thinks Emily's also there. Yeah, that's why they're there.
I don't think like ancestry tests reveal like very deep specific things about your DNA. It's more just like, you're white, dude. Like, that's really what it does.
Like,
yeah.
I vaguely remember a couple years ago, and I don't know if this company is even still in business, but I remember like a lot of really popular podcasts were like,
17, advertise.
No, it was a. I think it was a different one. Like I said, I don't know that this one is even in business anymore. But like it would, and like the whole deal was like, they'll tell you everything. They'll tell you what. I'm not making this up, by the way. This is not a joke. This is not hyperbole. They'll tell you whether or not you're genetically predisposed to have wet or dry earwax. Like, that was part of, like, the copy that they would read.
It just auto-completed to wet dreams, and I was like, yeah, I got that gene that makes me come in my sleep.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate. It's really annoying.
I am in one of those, and basically, like, I don't have any contact with my father's side of the family, so I did kind of want to know about, like, things like genetic cancer risks, stuff like that, you know. Also, you know, hey, whatever, like, how much of Ireland and Italy am I from or whatever, and all that crap.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah.
Anyway, the conspiracy
how
theory
Italian is he.
Not very. Anyway, so like the conspiracy theory, though, is they hold on to your DNA sample so that insurance companies can know to deny you later, because now they have a profile on you. So I think this is like the adjunct conspiracy theory of like, that's how they get you, you know?
Yeah.
Like that ancestry stuff. But
the one I've heard like really commonly, especially when like those like 23andMe's got like really popular, was like the conspiracy theory that I was always hearing tossed around was that they save your DNA, and then like if something were to go wrong, like, I don't know, an apocalyptic event, they would hold your DNA hostage with like technology to be able to like fix you, like heal your injuries or whatever, or like even like cloning you, like even offering to like clone you or whatever.
Oh, God, is this going into the med bed poison that the right has started taking too recently? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I remember hearing that one all the time of like, oh, they're gonna have it, and they're gonna be able to use it for really cool and good stuff, and when you need it, they're gonna hold it hostage, and that's in the terms and conditions.
Like, I still
reads.
Have my DNA, though.
Yeah.
Do they not realize? Like, I'm making shitloads. You're not going to believe it. Everybody, calm down. Don't you sit down if you aren't, if you're standing. I'm making DNA right now.
Whoa, okay.
it's just a thing you do, like, always. It's not like your true name being taken from you in, like, a Miyazaki film.
Like a
fae. I mean, I usually wait until after I'm done recording the podcast, but yeah. Like,
yeah.
We don't do it, right? But,
Well, I'm not expelling it. Let's not be crazy here. So that's why they scoop these two kids up. They are now, we cut to the next scene. They're moving these two to the big old bunker that all of the rich people have been taken in. They get dropped off at the gates in hazmat suits. And yeah, it, I gotta say, shout outs to the costume design team or the acquisition team or whoever did this. Because the people from the bunker come out in what are like plague doctor gas masks. Like they're like gas masks with like a really long beak window on the front of it. Like they were clearly trying to do like, what if plague doctor had iPad? And it's like kind of sick. I gotta give it to him. Like it's kind of rad, but yeah. Also it's like, well, this serves no purpose other than to be menacing.
They like American Horror Story thinks like leather and a lot of tubes is very scary. So like they've decided that if there's ever like a menacing doctor character, they have to wear like a lot of like hostile style, like aprons, like black aprons, and a lot of like PVC piping sometimes, just a bunch of like air conditioner tubes, like all the bells and whistles.
Oh, you mean from the movie Hostel? I thought you meant like hostile as in like dangerous.
Not like angry.
You know?
Yeah, no, yeah. The movie Hostel.
Don't fuck
like
with this
dangerous
plague doctor.
Tubes.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's Bane basically, right? It's like a big guy with dangerous tubes.
Yeah, his whole deal. Yeah. I would argue that's his whole deal. The mask and the tubes is kind of like his thing. That's like his whole calling card.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
He's got the Bane juice in him.
When did we decide that plague doctors were bad, by the way? Like, I feel like as a society, a lot of people have this idea that like plague doctor equals like scary bad person, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure like they were trying to fix it. I think they were trying to like make sure more people didn't die.
Medicine was so bad for such a long time that people just kind of associated a doctor showing up with someone dying. Because there was a long period of time where we're like, I don't know. Seems fucking bad, man.
It's one of those things, too, when you look it up, it's like it took a really long time for medicine to figure out, like, hey, should we wash our hands before we open a guy? You know?
Holy shit, dude. And that one's crazy, too, because you have a bunch of different, like, surgeons and, like, surgeon boards and stuff pressing charges and, like, trying to defame the guy who found out germ theory. Because they're like, we weren't killing guys this whole time. You're being fucking ridiculous. And he's like, no, you're like, you seriously were.
How dare you, sir? Yeah.
You gotta wash your hands.
Hey, we're trying to help people. Yeah, and you're doing a dog-ass job. Want some help? they do scoop them all in. They take them inside. They put them in a big old decontamination room. You mentioned in your notes, you can tell one of them's Kathy Bates, because Kathy Bates has like a smaller old lady kind of like gait to her. Like she walks in a very particular way. Very easy to
tell.
It's
wild. Yeah. She has like a patented like walk cycle. As soon as I saw that character walking, I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's Kathy Bates. And then it is Kathy Bates. And it's like, well, I don't know what about this walk cycle is Kathy Batesified, but like it's definitely distinctly. She also does like a particular, like as they're walking in, they like walk past two people in gray outfits who aren't in hazmat suits getting executed by some other gas mask people, like with a gun. And she does like Timmy and Emmy look at the execution like, oh shit. And then she's like, no, you got to get inside. And she does this like big sweeping arm gesture. Like she's sick of this shit and she wants the kids to get inside. And it's just, I don't know how to explain it, but it is so identifiably Kathy Bates coded that I'm like, that's got to be Kathy Bates. That has to be Kathy Bates. Like, I can't see what this person looks like, but I'm so certain that it's Kathy Bates. And it is Kathy Bates.
For someone very Kathy-pilled, yes.
Yes, yeah, based in Kathy-pilled. Exactly. Or Bates and Kathy-pilled, even.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's like supposed to be scary, I guess, that we see the two young people in gray outfits get executed, but it's kind of just like, well, damn, like, you guys couldn't wait till they got inside before you did that? Like, shit.
American Horror Story. It's supposed to be scary, I guess.
Yeah. Like, you couldn't, these are two, you're ushering in two people that, like, you're kind of forcing to be, like, the new genetic material for the rest of the world, like, against their will, and, like, you don't bother to make them comfortable. Instead, you, like, scare them by watching two people get executed for reasons unknown to them as they're coming inside. Like, they're not going to prison. They're going somewhere they're supposed to be safe. Why are you making them scared?
Right.
Yeah, this is like, you're convincing them they should probably go. Like, I think the idea was supposed to be like, see, we're really serious about this, so you have to listen to us. But it does kind of come out as just like, hey, why are we going here again? This seems bad. You usually don't do like routine executions at like a good, safe place to be.
Of two people who look to be roughly our age and like very similar to us. Like,
and we're like, we didn't do anything. We're sorry. We didn't mean it. We won't do it again. Just immediately blasted. Like, yeah, not a good. It's not like there was like a guy like smoking a cigarette who was like, yeah, I did it and I'll do it again.
Right. Yeah.
Then, like maybe a little bit.
Yeah, it's to scare us. Like, if we're being honest, it's to scare us, the audience. But like, it doesn't really work because it's like, well, damn, like, what did they do? Why did they get smoked? Because it just sets up the whole thing to be like, oh, they're going into a cruel prison. And it's like, that's not what they're going into. They're going into a bunker where they're supposed to be like safe and rebuilding the world from scratch. Like, this doesn't scream. It's also like a big black marble cube building. The building's just like a big black cube kind of in Silent Hill fog. Which, okay, this is another thing. I didn't really make a note about it. I just made a joke about it looking like Silent Hill. But, like, I had the thought as I was watching the episode of, like, I don't know anything about, like, nuclear war. I know very cursory amounts about nuclear war. Would it make the entire world foggy?
Shot with a nuclear bomb?
No, so, I've never been around a nuclear bomb. Does it make the world foggy forever? Like, is that a thing?
I think kind of not forever, but so there's the nuclear winter thing, but basically if it was a war, it would kick up so much like particles and stuff that it would kind of like block the sun. And that's what causes, I think, nuclear winter. If I remember, you can call me full of shit if either you realize
like
I'm full of shit here. I think so. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Yeah. I usually just kind of cross my fingers and be like, hope I don't get nuked.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it happens, it happens. I don't really think I got much I could do. Look, we joke about me hitting the nuke with a baseball bat. I can't actually do that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to try, I think, given the, you know what I mean? At some point, it's just like, all right,
I'm going to be there. Yeah. Like, absolutely. I'm squaring that shit up.
We're going to, And then we see it on the news. They'll be like, holy shit, I know that guy.
Like, the guy who got killed by getting hit directly by a nuclear bomb.
I know. Like.
Honestly, who could, like, that's a very small sample size of people, probably. Of people who got, like, directly hit with the actual physical bomb. Like, that's, like, maybe, like, six people, like, total. Yeah. Congratulations on being entered into the Hall of Fame of guy who got bonked directly on the head with a nuclear warhead before it detonated.
It's like when you kill somebody in an FPS by like hitting them with a grenade, like not the grenade explosion, but like the physical grenade bonking them in the head.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So, yeah, we get a little scared, I guess, by a random execution, which, to be clear, could have been a comedy bit if they just had the person raise the mask, turn, wave, and smile. Like, it's so stupid. So they get brought in. They get introduced to it's Sarah Paulson. Sarah Paulson is a nasty headmistress of the Fallout shelter, is what this is. Her name is Wilhelmina Venable. Is that right?
Yeah, Wilhelmina Venable.
I think they mostly call her like Miss Venable, more or less, you know?
Good, because her name's fucking Wilhelmina, and I don't want to be saying that shit all the time. That shit sucks. That shit's a real stinker, I'm not going to lie. Yeah, they give her a cane. I don't remember. Do they give her like one like cloudy eye, or am I just like applying a different character to
you?
Her?
Yeah, you're retrofitting another Sarah Paulson onto this.
Yeah,
thing.
This is just Sarah Paulson. Like, I feel like every Sarah Paulson character is like, just like a really stern lady, but like there's a morality scale of like ranging from like, this is somebody's like nice mother to like, this is an evil, wicked witch lady woman. Right. And this one is definitely further towards that one, I think.
This is like lawful evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The scale of like pain in the ass to like Mrs. Hitler or something. You know?
Yeah. But, she's not quite Mrs. Hitler, but like she's getting there, certainly. Right. Like she's not like malicious evil, if that well, she is, but like she's not like intimidating evil, if that makes sense. Like, you don't look at her and go, ooh, that's like the scary lady. Like, she's not scary. It's just like this fucking bitch. Like, when she walks
she
in,
she gives off harsh vibes.
Yeah.
Really harsh vibes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's obviously, she does not particularly care about the well-being of the people she's been charged to take care of. And also, she's a little salty about something we'll discover in like 5 minutes. And she is mostly, more than anything, she gives, like, headmistress vibes. Like, she's, like, running a school.
Yeah, not in the sexy way.
It is explicitly headmistress to the point that we very soon learn that this is a converted boys' school, which... Why was it underground? You know what?
And in the woods. Why was it underground in the woods?
Yeah. It's, when you see the outside of it, too, it definitely doesn't, like, look like school. Because it looks like... not like a spiral, but like a looped in little circle that you kind of enter in one spot. It's like, you know, like, I guess if you were looking at a spiral kind of structure, like head on a little bit, but it's that's how you get in. Nobody would architect that unless it was like, we're going to make the scariest outpost ever to survive a nuclear winter or something, you know.
This is where the boys will learn how to do multiplication and also table manners.
This is the last, like, kitschy haunted house you'll ever enter, you know, yeah. So.
Yeah. And also she has a cane, if that's, like, important. I don't even remember if it ever does become important, but she has
totally
a limp and a cane.
Yeah, that she,
Yippee. And she's like, welcome to Outpost 3. And then she takes them to where they're going to be living downstairs. And then that's when she gives like the spiel about this used to be a boys' school before the cooperative bought it. And I'm not going to say cooperative every time she says it because she says it a lot. So I'm just going to call it the co-op because that's a lot of syllables. It's going to add like an extra 4 minutes to runtime of this podcast every single episode. And she's like, the co-op is like a dozen really, really smart people. And they think that it's good that all technology just got fucking eviscerated by the nuclear bombs. And she's like, you guys may have noticed that everybody dresses in colors like this is the book/movie Divergent. That's because we're doing that, actually. And you're purples, which is like the good color. You want to be purple. Purple is like the good, nice color that like the rich people and you guys get to be. They get to survive. And I'm like, well, technically the other colors also get to survive. So that's not really a selling point on being a purple, because the gray people get to survive too. And I think there's another color. I don't remember that we've maybe not met yet. I don't remember.
I think it's like implied that Kathy Bates and Sarah Paulson are like, I'm not going to say, you know, they're wearing black the whole time. So like I have to presume that is like the enforcer class or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Like that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, the people dressed like plague doctors who are wearing black. And so we're not going to call them what that would be. I don't think they're called that.
no.
I think they're just called like, I don't know, like literally I think they have a name like the... I don't even
enforcer
remember. Yeah, it's like enforcer, or like watcher, or like protector, or something like that. Like they don't get a color, basically, which is for the best because I would not put it past American Horror Story to have not thought that out and be like, well, this other class that's also wearing a color, they fortunately,
also,
blessedly, did not.
To think about the through line of there are some snails that are kind of rare and annoying to harvest, creating the first purple. And now because of that scarcity, people in the post-apocalyptic bunker, if they're fancy, also wear purple. I just think that's neat.
Yeah.
It's like weird that that's it's funny that even American Horror Story is just like, yeah, the purple, the royal purple, of course. Like, well, what else do they wear? And it's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, that's sure. The rich people color, obviously. The rich people color is obviously purple. And so Gray
what should we make
Stinky.
Our servants wear so that they like still have some like fun morale and it's not like drab to be around here all the time? Nah, I'm kidding. They're fucking wearing gray.
We only have two colors. They could literally be any color in the world because we only have one color right now, and that's purple. And we're still going to make them wear gray. Like, literally, they could be any other color. They could be red. They could be green.
They could be red shirts.
Yeah.
And that'd be like a fun wink at the camera moment of like, we know this means they die.
Yeah. But alas.
I know it's horror, but like, I feel like it's not a big stretch to say, like, if you need people to like live in a little shelter for a long period of time, like, morale is crazy important. Like, even like Better Call Saul addressed that in a really like kind of not super necessary talking point. I don't have to get into, but I'm just saying, like, that show is just a little tiny thing was like, hey, morale is really important when you have a bunch of people who are living together underground for a while, you know? And it's like, you know, here they're just like, nah, you know, if they're miserable, you know, whatever, you know, that's fine.
We want everyone to be sad in the box underground, the people that need to repopulate the world.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Uprise us?
Yeah.
Like, kill themselves and doom humanity? You know, come on. Like,
that's, you
know, kill us?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. And like, not... I don't want to give American Horror Story any credit, and this isn't me giving them any credit. Other shows are also extremely guilty of this, and like movies and games, and I hate, this is one of my like my biggest pet peeves, is when a group of people or a person needs something from another person or group of people, and then they're just fucking assholes to the person they need something from, and I'm like, you need something from them. Why would mm-hmm. you not be nice to them and try to make them like you as much as possible? Now, because I'm not talking about like a hostage situation where like it's a life and death matter. It's like Ty just said, like they're banking on that these two genetically perfect people will eventually provide DNA to make more like good people. Like, they need them alive, they need them healthy, and they need them willing to like give whatever they need to give.
Right.
You gain nothing by being dicks to them. Literally, now, you gain nothing by being dicks to them.
Now, Liz, I will tell you that I've seen a lot of flight attendants catch a lot of grief on the internet lately in videos. So, you know, there is that aspect.
Fair.
But I do agree with you. That's a big pet peeve of mine too. The whole like, you don't, like, yeah, why would you be an asshole to someone that you should definitely not be? It's not in your best interest to.
And especially when it's like, and it's so common in so many forms of media of like, there's no reason why that person needs to be a dick either. Like, they just are. Mm-hmm. They're just being a dick like, for like no reason.
Yeah, it's like character establishment, but it's kind of like against the grain of the story in a way. You know, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't work for logistically.
I think they just don't want you to root for certain people. They're like, no.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to like that person. You are supposed to dislike that person. It's like, well, then give me a real reason why I should dislike. I'm not talking about Miss Venable at this point. I'm just talking in general.
Sure.
But speaking of her being unlikable, she's like giving her little speech and she's like, everybody has to wear their colors down here or else they will get in trouble. And I'm like, it's been like fucking 2 weeks since the bomb went off. Like, oh, 2 weeks ago, you were scrolling on TikTok and ordering DoorDash. Like, what do you mean we all have to wear assigned colors? That, like, they're not the only... American Horror Story is not the only one who has done this. The Walking Dead also did this a lot, where they're like, yeah, this is a huge, like, subgroup of people that only speak in their own weird gibberish language because of the apocalypse. And I'm like, what do you mean? The apocalypse started, like, 2 years ago. That's Brian from accounting. Why did he give up speaking English? And why is he speaking, like, a squirrel language now? What are you talking about? Like, same thing applies here of like, the bomb only went off like 2 weeks ago. What do you mean we've like resorted to like this weird hierarchy already? What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's one of the advantages the Fallout series leverages pretty quickly, is the idea that like, the bomb went off a real long ass time ago, and you're like generation two or three of people from the bunker. So like, it's been a grip when you hit the surface, as opposed to, yeah, like, we just, that kid just got accepted to college. what are we doing?
And you know, we've even established like she was protested and stuff too. So you wouldn't think she's like someone to go along with, you know, like all this stuff really. So, but
yeah. Hey, girl who showed up for protests about inequality, put this purple on. You're queen now. Don't complain.
Yeah. We think it's good. We think your genes are good. And there's never been any group of history ever who had that same, like, idea and it was bad. We think it's good. And there's no metaphor to be drawn from this, because the show isn't smart enough to have done a metaphor.
It's it's eugenics, spelled Y-O-U, so it's good, see?
We just think only certain types of people should be allowed to be born. Is that bad?
If you're enjoying this podcast and are interested in supporting us or having access to additional bonus episodes, consider subscribing to our Patreon over at patreon.com/greatandterribleahs. Supporters who pledge $5 or more a month will get access to our monthly Patreon exclusive episode in which we discuss various American Horror Story spinoffs, such as American Horror Stories. Thank you again for listening, and we hope to see you around next week. That's basically that's literally almost verbatim what the spiel like Venable gives about the co-op is. Like, literally. Yeah. And Emily's like, oh, hey, are you, since like you're giving us all the rules, since you're like the big cane lady who gives all the rules, are you a purple? Are you also like a fancy lady who is special? And then Venable gets like very clearly tilted about this and does not answer. And she's like, I'm not going to fucking acknowledge that. If you leave this bunker, you can't ever come back in. Also, if you fuck, we will execute you. That's what the two people upstairs got executed for. And I'm like, well, it kind of seems like you want them to fuck. Like, that's kind of like, I think, why you brought them down here. It seems like that would just speed up the process. You get like a whole 9 months ahead of time. Like, you're just going to be ahead of the ball if you just let them fuck. But allegedly, if they do that, they will get executed. And she's like, you got to be at dinner in 2 hours or some amount of time. And they're like, okay, that's fine. And then Timmy goes to go take a shower. And as he gets out of the shower, the number 666 shows up on his mirror in the mirror fog, and like a disembodied lady voice is like, beware. And it's the most like, is this anything?
It's so bad.
I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, I'm so scared of the number 666. Oh no, that's the evil number. Uh-oh.
It's like so deeply generic. Like, it's just like, hey, this shower is scary now. And I'm like, I guess.
You know, I made that like little off the cuff thing about the last kitschy haunted house you'll ever be in. But that is absolutely a move from a kitschy haunted house. Like, go on, the number of the devil. What do you think? Oh, look, it's David Pumpkins too in the window. You know, like, all right, that's enough.
Like, as a lady is like whispering in your ear, like, this is scary. This is scary stuff. Stuff. Ooh. It's so cool.
Am I the only person who would like be mad at a ghost right away if a ghost was just like, beware, and like didn't get any more specific?
Yeah.
Like, I'd be mad the ghost watched me shower.
Or like, how? Like, I'm stuck here.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean?
It's like, I'm in a haunted jail. Like, beware. I can't. You know? Like, fuck
I'm
off,
I'm already
ghost.
Being pretty aware, I think. Like, I'm pretty like on top of it. I'm like checking out my surroundings, I think.
Would it be scarier if the voice was like, stay frosty?
Or it's just like an ad read for like a fast food commercial. This is just like a voiceover artist that died, and they're just doing like ad copy in their ear.
Whopper, whopper, double whopper. Yeah.
Chat, is this real? I say as a ghost haunting somebody. Yeah. So they being Emily and Timothy, get dressed up in their fancy lad and lass outfit and go to dinner to meet everybody else who we did establish most of them in the previous part of our episode. There is some new people that we've not met, but the first person we see is Evan Peters Gallant, allegedly, because again, we never hear his name. And he's sitting in the big room everyone sits in, and complaining that the record player plays the same song every day, which allegedly it does. And then there's two new characters, a gay couple named Andre and Stu, who are like cuddling on the couch, and drinking mineral water. And the show has time to tell us about this for some reason.
So they can fuck, right?
Yeah.
It's like cool if they fuck.
I don't know. It's
I
not
just
clear.
Wanted to check. There's like no problems, right?
They didn't establish it.
Oh, yeah.
Does everyone gotta be gay? Is that the only way we get out of this?
I'm seeing very few downsides. If you're in the bunker and, like, you're not allowed to do the straight version, like, I mean, yeah. if you're going to experiment, yeah, now's the time, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, jeez.
But yeah.
Either way, they're drinking their mineral water and complaining that it's not regular water, I guess. And then Mallory, the assistant of the rich lady who was running around, shows up and she's in like a proper maid outfit and she's complaining that she's a gray, even though the hairdresser managed to be a purple, to which the response is like, yeah, the hairdresser said he wouldn't touch my hair if he wasn't gray. And I'm like, damn, seems like it's really easy to like right? change if you're gray or not. I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to shit on the floor every day unless I'm purple. And they'd be like,
I'm
going to
start biting people. I'm going to bite every person in here until you make me a purple. Like, you're going to have to make some really quick decisions.
Everyone gets hetero oral until I get a purple goddamn thing.
They're like, no, you can't do that. That's the one thing you can't do. Relax.
I'm gonna suck every dick until you have to kill everybody but me. I'm going on a tear.
Powerful energy from Mallory. I mean, isn't that kind of what that lady in Asylum did? And then she got her legs cut off for it. I mean, she gave it a shot. She gave it a good educated
shot. Blew
too
close
yeah.
to the sun.
Really yeah. for a yeah. situation. Another new lady has dropped that we've not met. And that's Dinah Stevens, who's like a stand-in for Oprah. And they even like have another character be like, she's like Oprah directly to the camera. And she's played by Adina Porter, who was Lee in the Roanoke season, in case anybody forgot. That's really the only role I can think of that she's done in American Horror Story so far. She might have been in another season, but I don't remember if she was. And again, she's like Oprah, and Glant's like, hey, new people, how is it outside? And Timothy's like, gone. And I'm like, great answer, buddy. And then Venable comes in and rings the dinner bell, which is a real physical dinner bell that they ring. And then it cuts to them at dinner, and everyone's eating cube meal. Everyone gets a cube. It's cube time. Everyone enjoy your cube.
Mm-hmm.
So two things. First of all, they do have an announcement system that runs through the place. We will literally see the room light up red and have a Wooga horns go off later. So the little dinner bell is so funny. It's so funny. And also, did you know that on the very short list of things you are absolutely not allowed to do to prisoners, one of them is feeding them a flavorless nutrient cube. This has been tried before as a punishment, and it pretty universally it goes too far, like right away. Like either the prisoners will just riot like within a week, or it's just been deemed too cruel by like mm-hmm. basically everyone who's ever analyzed it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, they get to eat a nice little flavorless nutrition cube. Which, hey, remember we were talking about how, like, moral staying high is probably, like, pretty good? Like, you need that morale up yeah. or else everyone's going to kill each other?
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Flavorless cube, great way to make everyone kill each other.
Well, I think what you've misunderstood fundamentally here, Ty, is that this isn't a prison and that these aren't prisoners. They just can't go outside, and if they fuck, they'll get shot in the head. That's not a prison, is it? I think that's just normal. That's like a hotel, basically. You can't fuck at a hotel. They kill you there, too.
We're not forcing you to stay. We didn't cause radiation. I mean, you know, it just happens to work out that way. Now eat your cube.
Yeah, eat your cube. This isn't a prison. Eat your cube. And if you go outside, we will kill you. And if you fuck, we will kill you. And if you do any of the other stuff that we don't like, we will kill you.
Louis C.K. seems to be doing fine. It's strange. Anyway, yeah. So.
Yeah. And then Coco, everybody's favorite checks notes influencer, is like, but I'm so hungry because it's cube meal. And then she says that it's dumb that the co-op planned like all this stuff, like all of it, and also didn't bother bringing real food, which, you know what?
That's kind of based.
Like no yeah. hydroponic like gardens to grow stuff underground with like grow lights or anything, just cube meal will be fine, I think.
And especially because they don't like have enough cube meal to justify it. Like
yeah.
there are like there are like apocalypse food solutions. Generally, they're sold by grifters trying to take advantage of rich white people who are really uncomfortable and need something to be scared of. But like,
oh shit, really?
They do make those. You can have like meals contained that are like good and ready to eat for like multiple years that are like real food. You don't have to get fucking cubes that I guess go bad in a year or whatever.
Do you remember when they had that one you could buy on Reddit, like Soylent, I think it was called, which is like actually what they name humans in the movie, like when they have to eat like people with Soylent Green, but they called it that. And it's like this flavorless horrible liquid that's
the
like
goop. Yeah,
and then people were complaining it tasted like ass, even though it's not supposed to really taste like anything. But like, yeah, anyway. Sorry, I just got reminded of that, and it's terrible. But
yeah, my favorite part of Soylent is all the homemade Soylents people were doing, and some of those got like vile.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Jeez. Oh yeah. So when do I add the corn slurry, fellas? Yeah. So Coco correctly is like, so they didn't like look into like rations or like MREs or anything, just cube. And Venable slaps her. And yeah, Kathy Bates now wanders in, and she is full like old lady goth in a way that I don't think of, like industrial mean goth too.
Right, like Trent Reznor's annoying aunt. Yeah, like, you know, like, ah.
Yeah, they like, I don't know what they were going for with Kathy Bates's character, but they were like, all right, picture it this way. Kathy Bates is like normal Kathy Bates, right? But she's also the scariest goth butch lesbian you've ever seen in your entire life. And for some reason, we're supposed to think that she's in charge of keeping everybody safe and protected. Like, she's maybe 5.5 feet tall. That's being extremely generous. I think she's probably closer to like 5'2", 5'3", maybe. She's definitely like old lady stature. That's the lady who's in charge of keeping everyone alive and safe in these very trying and admittedly maybe volatile times. That's the lady we put in charge of keeping everyone safe. And her name is Miriam Mead, which is like the most Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children ass name I've ever heard in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, yeah, that's like a random hobbit. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Or like maybe like a wizard or something. I don't know. Or a witch in like the new Wednesday Addams series.
Is that Samwise Gamgee's aunt? Yeah. Miriam Mead?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
She makes mead. That's why that's her name.
Yeah.
And Venable's like, we have 18 months of cubes. And I'm like, well, you just killed two people outside. And I presume they also eat the cubes. Does that not like make more cubes for everybody else? Like, is that not like how's the cube economy? What's cube coin looking like?
It doesn't even seem like that math is super hard to do either, but they didn't bother. They're just like, not 18 months, that's it.
You guys knew that you were going to be bringing a certain amount of people down here, so like, did also like some of the people didn't even make it. Like that lady's like family, Coco's family, didn't make it to the bunker. I'm sure there were other people who didn't make it to the bunker. You didn't have like extras for those people that didn't show up, probably. Whatever. The co-op is also allegedly 12 very smart people, and people who call themselves very smart people frequently are not. Looking at you, Mensa. Looking at you foully. But yeah, so they've established that they have 18 months, and that's apparently a firm number that can't be moved. And like, Glant's like, okay, well, then what's the deal? Like, what are we doing here? Like, when 18 months is up, what happens? What do we do? And then they get distracted because Venable's throwing a little fit, kind of. And she's like, something penetrated the grounds. And I'm like, today? And you still let them bring Timmy and Emmy in? You couldn't have waited like an extra day? Like, we have a security breach and you still chose to bring Timmy and Emmy today? And we get like a flashback where Miriam Mead finds a like fucked up carrier pigeon outside. We resorted to carrier pigeons real quick after the nuclear bombs went off, I guess. Like, we were like, well, most other methods of communication are down. We have to start training pigeons from scratch again. Everybody get a pigeon. We're going to teach it how to do carrier pigeon stuff. And they did it. There, we have them again, yeah. I guess. That's
so
good, probably.
Great news. It turns out that there is a very specific kind of guy who is very obsessed with MREs. That's like that's like a genre of guy.
Yeah.
Was able to find a chart and even just lightly refrigerated to about 50 degrees Fahrenheit. So not like terribly crazy refrigeration. The kind you would need more than that to like keep a gel stable, for example.
Mm-hmm.
The shelf life of like an average MRE at about 50 degrees is 60 months. So yeah, they fucked up with the cubes. Bad plan. Bad idea with the cubes, boys.
Yeah, and I think they say something, I don't know if we mentioned it or not, but we said, like, they say something to the effect of like each one of these one cubes has like every single nutrient and mineral your body needs. Like, they're God's perfect cubes, and they will keep you alive. And I'm like, the human body can, like, doesn't need all those all the time. I eat Taco Bell and McDonald's, and I know for a fact those don't have every single mineral that I need. So, like, the human body can go a pretty long time without getting every single mineral and vitamin. Like, maybe you could have just made more cubes with less ingredient.
I mean, like, they built all this, so you'd think they'd have this all, like, on lock, but they, like, clearly don't. It's so weird. Like, they, you know, that's, like, nobody did any research on this whatsoever, and it was, like, a really like, important job, goddammit.
Real fire festival also, like, vibes.
Making, right? Yeah.
Making the cube tasteless was, like, a choice they had to make. Like, you don't do that on accident. That's crazy. Yeah. Why would you be like, if there's fats and proteins and carbohydrates in it, which there has to be because those are the things that humans, like, do super need. Like, it would have a flavor. Like, it would have a sweetness to it or a fattiness to it or, like,
so,
something.
It's so easy to add flavors nowadays, too, you know? Like, it costs you, like, nothing to be like, fuck it, barbecue. Let him have barbecue cube, you know?
Sour
like,
cream and onion nutrient cube.
Barbecues. Yeah. Oh.
Yo. Give me the barbecues. Wait, hold on. Hey, do you want to start up an LLC?
Don't post this till the Kickstarter's up. So, like, yeah.
Okay.
That's a good name. Anyway,
they find out there's that the cubes are bad. They're trying to eat the cubes. And then so the note that Kathy Bates gets from the carrier pigeon is from the co-op, and it just says like, "Hey, there's no government anymore. Just starving people fighting around this, that, the other. Hey, three of the other outposts have already been overrun. So we're going to, like, come and check your place and decide if you should live or not, I guess, which is confusing. Also, all governments are gone. That's crazy. I don't think we have enough nukes.
Yeah. I'm like, did everybody detonate all of their nukes on themselves after, like, getting bombed? Like, there's no way, like, every single place in the world got nuked. Like, did Australia get involved in this? Are we not, can't we just go to Australia or Africa or South America? Because, like, there's definitely parts of all of the countries that exist on every continent that don't have nukes. So, like, they probably are safe.
Yeah, because there's something to be said for, like, automated countermeasures, right? Like, you know, if you, for example, have something that just, like, if it detects that a nuke is coming in and no one cancels it, automatically fire nukes back. But that, again, back. Fire them back at the people who sent them.
Yeah.
Don't just, it's not like if you detect a nuke coming in, glass it. Take everything out. Like, just wipe the planet. Fuck them. Throw all the nukes. Spread them out as much as you can.
If we're getting nuked, everybody's getting nuked. That's our countermeasure, is that we're taking everybody with us.
You're coming to hell too, Madagascar. Yeah.
Yeah. The like Galapagos Islands get fucked.
Fucking smug ass New Zealand. Not getting involved, huh?
Oceania's getting a bomb for every single one of the islands involved in making up Oceania. Nobody. There's no safe places on Earth anymore. We nuked the ocean. Fuck it. We also nuked the ocean, so you can't go there either. You have to live in one of these bunkers, and there's only, 8 months' worth of food in here.
Do you think they have to recognize Sealand? Do you think they have to be like, okay, we have to nuke Sealand because it's legally a government, even if it's an unrecognized micronation?
Everybody's getting nuked. There's nobody got not nuked, which, like,
honestly, I bet Sealand would pog. I bet they'd pop off and be like, yo, we got nuked, we're real. On the way out.
Yeah, they're real for that, though. But yeah, allegedly, like, the whole world is gone. And I'm like, well, I imagine that if something of that scale happened, one of the first things to go would be communication, like, line of communication. How do you know? How do you know the rest of the world got, like, obliterated? Besides that, we knew, like, some of the bigger, like, hubs got hit before everything went dark.
Well, especially because they're claiming technology went out, too. Which is a whole other thing.
All
but
of it. Yeah. It's gone. All of it's gone. There's no more. Don't look for it. There's no more. It's all gone. It's zero outside.
Trust me, bro. You're not going to believe me, the leader of Outpost 3, you know, but who you met 2 weeks ago and is kind of an asshole to you.
Yeah. We meet, like, another person who's on the team, TM, and it's, like, the world's tallest woman. And she comes in and tells Kathy Bates that there's a lot of radiation in this room, which how she would know that, I don't know. You would think that it had been in a lot of places because all of the people who were in this room were also in the last room that they were in together. So you'd think that if there was some kind of radiation detection system in the bunker, that it would have also gone off when they were all sitting in the sitting room for like an hour together. But alas, Glance, like, well, Timmy and Emmy came in today. So, like, that would make the most sense if they have radiation on them. And Kathy Bates, like, nope, I've got the thing that it detects radiation that I can't think of the name right now of.
Geiger counter.
Geiger counter. And everybody's going to get touched. I'm going to touch everybody with it. And she does. And Gallant and Stu both, which is one of the two gay couple, which we never figure out, like, we don't know why they're down here. I don't know if they're supposed to be famous or rich or whatever, but, like, we don't find out what their deal is. They're just like, well, they're two gay guys. They get to be in the basement house.
They were the most gay, so they get to... Yeah, they were the outlier. Like, they checked the genetics of everyone, and they were like, these two teens have really good genetics. These guys are the most gay. You gotta have them.
That you can be. It does not get any gayer than this. We know these two aren't gonna make a baby in here. Like, there's no risk that these two are gonna get somebody knocked
up. No shot, yeah.
Right.
It's super safe to have them down here. And then, like, they get Stu and Glant get taken to the shower room for naughty boys who have radiation and scrubbed down with, like, brooms. And then Stu didn't get...
They, like, sand them.
Yeah.
Like, we gotta sand these boys.
Yeah, these boys are too radiated. They need to get sanded. And then Stu didn't get sanded enough, so he gets shot. And I'm like, well, can't you sand him more? Like, clearly it came off of Glant, so, like, you can't just... Maybe you did a bad job cleaning him. Like, try it again. But he doesn't. He gets shot in the head. But Glant doesn't. He's fine. Evan Peters is fine. And that's that scene. So Stu's dead now. In another room, Venable's being fucking weird, which she's going to be, unfortunately, for the rest of the show. Like, not just this episode. Like, I remember. This lady's fucking weird for forever. And she's in one of the rooms wearing a purple ball gown and, like, looking at herself longingly in the mirror. Like, I wish I was a purple. And then Mead knocks on the door and is like, let me in. And she does. And then Mead is also wearing a purple dress under the thing. And I'm like, you guys are like in charge. I don't think you would get in trouble if you just wore purple. Like, you might as well just do it. Who's going to, like, yell at you? Like, you're the people who is in charge.
In fact, the only people that would yell at them would have a full red lights turn on everywhere and an awooga horn sounds if they show up. So you can, like, get changed first.
You have a little bit of heads up.
Yeah, you could even, yeah.
Like, you could even fuck it. Like, fuck it, we ball. You could make up a third new or a fourth new color system where you're like, oh, we're the blues. We're even more special than the purples. And we don't, like, there's not, like, it's not written down anywhere, so don't go looking for, like, a guidebook or anything. But we are, like, so much better than the purples, and only we get to be the blues. They said, the big guys who make all the rules said, so... the purples are like, they have to answer to us.
And so she's looking in the mirror at herself longingly like this, and it's like supposed to be this thing of like, oh, imagine if I was one of the rich elites, but the symbol of wearing purple being this like huge important thing, it's been 2 weeks. You can't like longingly look at yourself like, ah, oh, I imagine a different life where I was purple the whole time instead of Beth at accounting until like, makes, like 2 weeks ago, and then I was not a purple.
It makes no sense though, because it's also like, gosh, imagine if I was in charge. Like, you are. Like, you can do whatever you want. Like, the
that's
money,
what I mean. Like, who's oppressing you? Like, it's literally the meme of like the guy putting the stick in the spokes of the bike that he's driving. Like, you're in charge. Ew. Who's gonna tell you you can't be the fancy class? Like, you made the hairdresser guy the fancy class. There's no fucking rules. Just do
it. I know.
Like, what are you talking about? It's so cool. Yeah. And, like, the two of them are, like, giggling and, like, giddy about pretending to be purples. And there's, like, an insane amount of sexual tension between the two of them for some reason. And then they start playing, like, Old Maid or something, some kind of card game. And they're like, hee-hee, wasn't it so funny how we, like, set Stu up to get fucking eviscerated? And I'm like, this is another thing. Like, you're in charge. You could have literally just, like, executed him randomly and been like, he had too much radiation in him. Like, what are the other people going to do? Like, they can't do anything about it. So you could literally just do that. You didn't have to put on a weird show. But Venable loves terrorizing the guests, and she says as much. And Mead is like, well, I'm military and my family's military, so I still respect the authority of the co-op. And it's like, okay, no one asked. And then it goes back to the dining room, where Andre, who was Stu's partner, is sobbing about Stu, and he's like, Stu never went outside. And then Coco's like, oh, he might have. People do weird things. That's why I started jorking it with my offhand. And I'm like, hell yeah, sister. really getting creative 2 weeks in. And she's like, well, the good news is we have his amount of food now. And I'm like, that's what I said about the two people who got executed outside. And nobody had anything to say about that in the TV show. So here we are. And then Venable and Mead show up, and they're like, okay, we've had a sad day, and everyone's obviously quite upset, and we've done nothing at all to try and make that better. In fact, we have been mean to you any given opportunity. So to make you all feel better, we've made soup. Everybody gets soup as
stew.
A treat. It's stew. Yeah, everybody gets a big old bowl of stew as a treat. And Timothy, like, looks at Emily across the table and does, like, a subtle, like, head shake, like, don't eat it, because it's really obvious what's happening. But in, like, 5 minutes, Timothy's going to be like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
They also have the Oprah analog, just, oh, God, what does she say about it? I'm trying to remember. It's, keep going, it'll come back to me. But they mention, she's like, hey, where'd you get this fresh meat? Where was the fresh meat at? It's weird that there's a fresh meat supply now that we didn't have before. And she's just like, oh, we have resources. And yeah, so it's just like, oh, okay, so this is a guy.
Right.
Yeah, this is the guy who just died. And you made it Stu. You made the guy whose name is Stu into Stu. That's crazy.
That's the whole reason they did it.
My thing is like... Yeah. Okay, like, you're trying to maintain a facade of that this is, like, a real thing and, like, that you're not a weird sicko. The story you just came up with was that Stu was too radioactive to live, So, like, why would you run the risk of people being like, holy fuck, you fed us stew? Like, the man, not the food item. Wasn't he fucking radioactive? That will never be brought up one time. No one's going to be like, holy fuck, wasn't he super radioactive? Wasn't that, like, the problem? Well, everyone will just be like, oh, I'm sad that I did cannibalism.
And I'm sorry. This is, like, so first of all, they actually say the line, oh, my God, when they realize this stew is stew. If he had a different name, would you have to make a different thing? Like, you're pretty lucky you had the ingredients for stew and the guy was named. Like, if it was, like, Filter Duckin, you'd be like, ah, screw this. We're making stew anyway. You know? Like,
yeah. Like, that's why Galen didn't die. They're like, what the fuck's a galant? We can't make that for dinner.
I can't think. Kathy baited a little chef hat in her purple. I can't think of anything.
Do we know anyone named Ropa Vieja? Can we invite him down?
Is Mallory a food item? Oh, we have Coco. Coco exists. She's down here.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's kind of handy. Yeah. And it's like before they actually have the reveal, because it's not like straight up said, like there's like a bunch of scenes of them eating it. And like everyone's eating it and they're pulling out like fucking teeth and hair and bones.
One pulls out a tooth.
I'm like,
just a human tooth, and it's like, huh?
I'm like, who the fuck made this soup? You made the soup. You could have just straight up not put the bones and teeth in it. What the fuck are you doing?
The funniest part to me too is they pull a tooth out and like Holsey's like, is that a human tooth? And someone else goes, yeah, that's not a chicken bone. Which, like, yeah, man, chicken don't have teeth.
Yeah, that's when everybody is like, I think you're making us eat guy. I think this is people meat. And Venable's like, no, it's not, Lamau. And then Evie's like, well, I think this soup is great. And in case you forgot who Evie is, she's the, like, Liza Minnelli stand-in, who is Gallant's grandma, who's, like, fucking weird. And then after dinner, they all go to the sitting room again, and the song is playing again, and Andre calls everybody cannibals. And then Dinah says exactly what I've been saying this whole time, which is like, well, they wouldn't have fed us Radiation Man. And Timothy's like, you're right, that wasn't stew. And I'm like, you were literally the very first person to, like, shake your head and tell Emily not to eat the stew. Like, you knew ball. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, Timothy? You're the first person who indicated something was wrong. But then Andre's like, I have to see Stu's body. And then before they can rectify that plot point, the music has stopped and Emily points it out. And then a new song starts and everyone starts cheering and is excited because Glant thinks it's a message from the co-op indicating that they're going to be saved.
Because, yeah, it's the song, There's Gotta Be a Morning After. Yeah.
Right.
So it switches to that and they go, oh, there's gotta be a morning after. We're going to be rescued tomorrow. And then title card.
18 months later.
It just says,
yeah.
18 months later. So, like, you know, all those, like, breakdowns of relationships and, like, the fights and stuff and how the characters now intermingle, all that stuff. Just imagine it in your mind's eye. We're not going to show it to you.
That would be too much TV show to make. We got other shit to get to. This is just the series premiere, or the season premiere, I mean.
Right.
And the same song is still playing, which is kind of funny. Like, that's kind of a funny bit on the co-op's part, I have to admit. Like, to just randomly one day change the song. And, like, I like to think there's an intern at the co-op who just, suddenly realized they were actually supposed to change it every day. And just realized at that exact moment, like, oh, shit, oh, fuck. And then they killed that guy because he fucked up. So it got stuck on the second song. I like to imagine that's what happened.
I was gonna say, yeah. The DJ just like had sex because he was the DJ and he was too cool, putting down too many hot beats, and so it was over for him.
But like, why are they pranking these people too? You know what I mean? Like, got him. Like, practical jokers never die. Like, I don't understand. Like, you know, like, why trick the people in your little outpost?
So, like, there's a thing of that in Fallout, right, where the idea is when there's, like, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these vaults, most of them were normal, but then they would, like, run little social experiments in some of them. That was, like, one of the core conceits, because then it lets you have fun little zones to explore, because it's a video game.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're, like, trying to do that, like, they're doing social experiments on them, except, like, there's only like 10 bunkers and like four of them already went up. So like you, it seems like you got to cut the social experiment and be like, guys, right. we don't have enough spares.
Yeah. We need these guys to like not be upset. We need these ones to be like normal and good. yeah. And then at this point, everyone's considering eating each other. Again, I don't know how the math works out because they had a whole additional guy worth of 18 months of food. Which is whatever. And then Timothy is giving everybody in the room a voiceover in this scene for some reason, which is very odd. I'm not sure why we're listening to Timothy give narration. And he's telling us, the audience, and presumably the other people in the room who have been there the whole time, like very short highlights of what have happened over the last 18 months, but it's all the most dog shit highlights that nobody cares about, including that him and Emily are a couple and they're only allowed one kiss per week, but sometimes they sneak more. And I'm like, that's not like a plot twist or like a development that's surprising. That is literally why they're down there. They want that. That's what the point is, why they're there.
I don't
care that that happened in the last 18 months because it's obvious that that was going to happen. So I want to know about all the other shit that happened in the other 18 months. Also, fuck Stu, I guess, because he's the only person who got killed. He's literally 18 months went by and no one else got fucked with. It was just Stu. So RIP to Stu, I suppose. They're eating cube meal and Venable's like, all right, this is our last breakfast because we got to cut rations again. And that makes everybody cranky and they start fighting. And Mallory's like, well, we should probably just go outside. And Mead's like, no. And then Galan starts throwing a temper tantrum and the big Awooga alarm starts going off and everything goes red, code red, literally, because there was a breach
in the library. To be clear, they're like in like a room with books, not like a submarine. So it's like, why do we have the red lights installed in here? Like the Awooga, I'll even give them because there's an intercom, sure. But like the lights are a bit much. I don't. Are those? It was a boys' school, not a submarine. Those are different.
Yeah. Every boys' school has this. And so there's a...
Oh, nerd alert's going off. We got to rustle them up, boys.
I want everybody to know that, like, everybody starts tweaking. And by everybody, I mean even the people dressed in black who are in charge of the facility start tweaking. And they're like, there's a breach. Like, mild spoilers for 20 seconds from now, the person who's coming is a part of the co-op. And you'd think that, like, A, the co-op would have something in place to, like, be like, hey, when one of us shows up, you don't have to tweak the fuck out about it. It's fine. It's fine if we show up. Don't, like, hit us with, like, the anti-intruder flamethrowers. Like, you think that maybe there would be some kind of procedure in place for when one of the higher-ups shows up. But no, if they're like, fuck, it's a breach. Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. Which was whatever. Anyway, a horse-drawn carriage shows up at the facility, which is, I guess, how we travel now, even though we saw that Timmy and Emmy got dropped off in, like, a Humvee.
Hey, does a car get sick from radiation? Is that a thing?
Because I don't think so.
Hmm. And, like, there'd be something to say for, like, gas goes stale after a good amount of time, but, like a good amount of time. Like,
2 weeks.
It takes a grip.
Yeah,
so,
no, it's,
I don't know why, like, I think metal is, like, one of the things that's, like, cool with being irradiated. Like, a car is just kind of like, I'm a Toyota. I don't know what this is. I don't have biological organs.
Toyotas and Hondas specifically definitely survive the nuclear war.
I feel like just, like, in general, a horse would be, like, way less likely to survive than, like, a forerunner, you know? Like,
yeah. No.
Where did they get the horses?
Why is the horse still good?
Yeah
there's a reason Mad Max isn't about, like, feed. Yeah, exactly. Like,
car doesn't eat.
Right.
Car eats
right.
This is at least, like, this is still a horse. Crossover. This is an adult horse who's been alive for at least 18 months since the nuclear bombs went off also. So, like, this horse is, like, these horses, plural, there's, like, six of them. Have been alive for a bit after. So, like, I assume that they're somewhere, I don't know, that doesn't have radiation, because I doubt they're in the bunker. I doubt we have bunker horses. Environmental nice storytelling.
You wouldn't take them out, right? Like,
sure. And the carriage pulls up. The horses have gas masks on, which we're going to find out in like 20 seconds doesn't mean shit or fuck, and that the horses are still fucked up from the radiation. And then a man named Michael Langdon, who is played by Cody Fearn, who I think is in other seasons, but I don't remember, shows up and steps out and has an ID. And his ID number is 666, and his clearance is unlimited, which kind of goes hard as fuck if you're an employee of the co-op. Like, the co-op definitely took what I was talking about with Miss Venable. Like, they took that shit to heart. They're like, oh, we're in charge. We can do whatever the fuck we want. We can name ourselves Donkey Kong. Nobody can stop us. We can put whatever we want on anything, which I appreciate. Great use of free will.
Yeah. I'm just going to name my band Huey Lewis in the News, even though no one in it is named Huey Lewis and we don't cover the news.
Exactly. They get it. And he goes inside and meets with Venable, and he is fully dressed as Lestat from Interview with the Vampire, and looks as such.
Yeah.
And then we see a shot where Kathy Bates is outside with the horses that have gas masks on. And she shoots. She first of all takes them to the edge of a cliff, and then she shoots them, and then she pushes them off the cliff. Which, first of all, Kathy Bates is, again, an old lady who's maybe 5.5 feet tall. Massively powerful Kathy Bates energy to push a whole ass horse off of a cliff. And then we see like something in the fog, like drag the horses into the woods, and I assume eat them.
Also, when Lestat hands off his horses, he just goes, "Hey, take care of my horses." And like, I thought he meant like get him in a little stable or something, right. Or get him a sugar cube or some shit. So I was like, imagine if that is what he meant, and he like came back out and he's like, "Where are my horses?"
And Kathy Bates is like tugging on her collar, like, "Ooh, sorry, got our wires crossed there a little bit."
What but horses?
Have some horse hors d'oeuvres.
What? No, not the horse d'oeuvres.
Kathy Bates with her little chef hat on, like sweating, nervous, like, "Oh no,
like, this is the best I can do. Like, there's nothing."
Oh my god. And Michael/Lestat is like, all the other outposts are fucked. They're so fucked. But great news. There's a cooler, better outpost that lasts like 10 years that like you are eligible for that we didn't tell anybody about.
Feels fucked to not make them all like that. Like,
right?
That's some real, like, why don't you just make the whole plane out of the black box?
And he's like, "We're going to have American Idol for if you want to get into that facility. I get to decide." He's like, "I could take all of you. I could take every single one of you if I want to. Or I could take none of you. You guys are going to have to, America's Got Talent yourselves to into that facility." And he's like, "Anyone who doesn't get taken to the cooler, newer facility ends up like my horses." And I'm like, I don't think Venable knew you A, arrived with horses, and B, knows what happened to them. So like, if I was Venable, I'd be like, they get put in a stable outside? Like, what do you mean?
You take care of them?
You feed them apples? They get fed apples? Like, is that what's going on?
Oh, you
on?
Ride them? I was like, no.
Yeah, they get ridden like cattle, I guess. And then that's the end of the episode. Yippee! Can't wait to see what happens after that.
I can. I hate all these characters. What do I give a shit if they live or not?
True.
Like, they just really suck ass, huh? Like, front to back. There's just... Who am I supposed to be rooting for? Is it Timothy? Because he's just, like, so boring. That's so right? Nothing.
Like, it's like, I think they need a couple more episodes to, like, kind of get you invested in these assholes, you know? But it's like... The piece of shit influencer you're not supposed to like? How about her assistant, who I guess you're supposed to like, but we don't see a lot of? Or, you know. I think her, is she like that? She's like the only one I can think to like kind of root for, but she's barely in this, I feel, you know? But I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who cares?
And also, she still feels like they're having her be very much like a one-dimensional bit character of just like the mousy assistant. Like, she hasn't really got to like be a character yet. I don't know if she's shown up after 18 months passes. Like, I literally don't know if she's on camera after that.
Guess we have to find out.
Look for it. Oh, wait, right. We look at the next episode's title. The Morning After. They already did that, though. Oh, I wonder if it's going to be a callback.
Ooh, a callback to the previous episode. How inventive and new.
Yeah, wow. How bold of you gentlemen. Very, 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 very brave in the writer's room today, calling back to something that happened 6 minutes ago. Keep it up, boys. Look forward to more of the Fallout America's Got Talent of seven people you don't like.
Yippee!
Till next time, everybody, have a great night.
Bye!